Welcome back to the deep dive. Grab your phone, your tripod, and maybe that external mic you bought last year, because today we are diving deep into a resource so practical it's essentially gold. A comprehensive step-by-step blueprint for creating high-quality, high-impact vertical video.
Yeah, we're talking about the 9.16 format.
Exactly. If you are looking to master the rules of successful platforms, you know, the ones built on speed and visual retention where milliseconds matter, this is your 9.16 blueprint.
And we really synthesized this. We took a stack of sources, mostly focusing on these pre-production checklists from top-tier creators, and just boiled them down.
So our mission for you, the listener, is really about efficiency.
It is. It's not just about recording one good video. You want a reliable, repeatable workflow.
Something you can count on every time.
Yeah. The goal of this deep dive is to shortcut your learning curve, to give you the definitive list of checks and balances necessary before you even think about pressing record. When we finish here, you will have a workflow that I think minimizes wasted time in editing and just maximizes your confidence in the clips you capture.
I love that idea. It's not about expensive gear. It's about discipline.
It's all discipline.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We've broken this systematic approach down into three pretty logical phases. We start with concept and story.
Foundation.
Then we move immediately into technical execution. And finally, we lock it all down with the safety net, those crucial, you know, non-negotiable checks that save your content.
The things everyone forgets.
Right. Let's begin at the absolute foundation. You know, what surprised me in this material was the emphasis placed on the story. Even when the resulting video is only, what, 15 or 30 seconds long, we think of these as visual bursts, but the core findings just hammer home that a good recording is built entirely on having a defined main message.
It's really the difference between just filming a clip and actually creating content.
Okay, explain that.
Well, the sources mandate that your narrative has to define two very clear things: a clear protagonist.
A protagonist.
And a clear action or movement. If you can't describe, you know, in one single sentence who's doing what, then you're just wasting your time gathering random footage.
I think people might struggle with that definition in the vertical space. I mean, you don't have a traditional three-act structure. So how do we apply protagonist and action when the goal is like a quick tutorial or a surprising reveal?
Well, the protagonist is just the focal point.
Yeah.
It could be the person speaking, sure, or it could be the object that you're demonstrating.
Ah, I see.
And the action is simply the change or the process that keeps the viewer watching. Are you showing a transformation? Are you solving a problem? I mean, that definition, it forces intention onto your shoot. You can't just turn the camera on and, you know, hope for the best.
And the most critical component of that intention, and I think this might be the single most important rule in the entire blueprint, is the hook.
The hook. This is where success is born or dies.
For sure.
You absolutely must dedicate specific planning time to creating a compelling hook that's designed only for the first 3 seconds.
3 seconds? It's so fast.
It is. This is the moment when a viewer decides, almost subconsciously, if they're going to continue watching or just scroll away.
So we're not talking about a soft open or a gentle introduction here.
No, no.
We're talking about like jump scaring the viewer with relevance. Can you give us an example of a successful hook type that the sources kept referencing?
Yeah, the best ones, the most reliable hooks, are often built around a question or an immediate promise of value.
Okay.
Like, I guarantee you didn't know this about topic, or the number one mistake everyone makes with task. By front-loading the most interesting part of your conclusion or stating a shocking fact, you create this open loop that the viewer feels they must close by watching the rest of the clip.
And that right there is precisely why concept and story are prioritized over all the technical specs in this checklist.
That's the core insight. Absolutely. Technical excellence, you know, perfect lighting, crystal clear sound, it means absolutely nothing if the viewer is already gone by second four.
It's wasted effort.
Totally wasted. The story and the hook are the drivers of engagement and retention, and they earn you the right to show off your production quality later. If you fail here, the rest of this checklist is basically moot.
Okay, so once we have that ironclad story concept, we transition into segment two, technical foundations. This is where we stop talking about narrative and start talking about the physics of it all.
The nuts and bolts.
We have to start with the obvious but crucial format requirement.
And the obvious is often the thing that gets skipped the most, believe it or not.
Right.
The number one mandate is non-negotiable. Vertical orientation. You must be shooting 9.16, period.
But the sources also gave a really key warning about framing within that 9.16 aspect ratio, didn't they?
They did, because platforms often overlay buttons, you know, names or captions near the edges, especially at the bottom. You have to consciously frame your primary subject in any important text so it's centered.
So you're creating a safe zone.
You're creating a safe zone, exactly. If you place essential information too close to the screen edges, it's just going to get cropped or obscured by the platform's interface. Yep. You have to treat those edges as a safety margin.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting for me, because so many people assume high-quality video just means a great camera sensor, but the sources were adamant. Sound trumps visual quality.
Every time.
If your sound is bad, your video is unusable.
Absolutely. Just think about the mobile viewing experience for a second.
Okay.
People are watching vertical video on these tiny screens, often with headphones or small phone speakers, and frequently in slightly noisy environments. This kind of environment makes poor audio just unforgivable.
So what's the fix?
Our checklist mandates using an external microphone, a lavalier, that tiny mic you clip to your collar, or a dedicated external shotgun mic. Something.
I'll admit, I always prioritize the camera. So why does external audio provide such a massive improvement over, say, the phone's built-in mic?
It's all about proximity.
A
phone mic is designed to capture a wide area. So it often ends up prioritizing environmental noise, the hum of the fridge, the traffic outside, just because it's further away from the voice.
Right.
A lavalier mic puts the capture device right next to the sound source, instantly improving what we call the signal-to-noise ratio. You're isolating the voice, which is essential for clear, fast communication.
And what's the most commonly overlooked technical check related to that audio?
Oh, this one is painful. You must use headphones to check your audio levels while you are recording.
Not after.
Never after. Waiting until editing is a recipe for disaster. We have all wasted hours on a perfect take only to realize the sound was peaking or it was muffled because we didn't monitor it live.
It's a heartbreaking feeling.
It is. And beyond the gear, the technical foundation requires meticulous prep. You have to reduce that environmental noise. Be roofless, close the windows, turn off the air conditioning or the furnace if you can hear them, and kill any background music. This discipline here is what guarantees a professional final product.
Okay, let's talk about light. Because even with the best audio, a dark or harsh image just creates visual friction. The lighting must be adequate, but the rules for this format are pretty specific on how that light should look in the 9.16 frame.
That's right. The recommendation is to always, always choose diffused light. This means soft light. So shooting near a large window on a cloudy day or using professional equipment like a softbox.
Why is diffuse light such a higher priority for vertical video than, say, a more dramatic hard light setup?
Well, it connects back to that idea of cognitive load we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Hard light creates these dramatic, harsh shadows, which adds visual complexity and texture.
Huh.
In a fast-paced, small vertical frame, complexity is your enemy. Diffuse light is flattering, it reduces harsh contrast, and it makes the subject immediately legible and comfortable to look at. It respects the viewer's time by simplifying the visual data they have to process.
And the cardinal sin we must strictly avoid, the immediate production killer.
Backlighting. Never ever allow your main light source to be behind your subject.
No.
If the light source is in the background, your subject's face will just fall into shadow, turning them into an unintentional silhouette. The final verification for lighting is super simple. Always check that the subject's face is clearly, brightly, and adequately illuminated.
Moving seamlessly from light, which affects what we see, let's refine the visual polish, how we frame the subject for maximum impact in that narrow screen. The checklist mandates leaning heavily on classic composition rules, specifically the rule of thirds.
Yeah, and the specific instruction here is vital. You must position the subject's eyes in the upper third of the screen.
That feels a little counterintuitive for a screen where we hold the focus down low on the phone. Why push the eyes to the top?
It's partly psychological, and it's also partly related to the interface again. Positioning the eyes in the upper third creates a comfortable line of sight for the viewer, and it gives the subject presence and authority in the frame. And, you know, since platform interfaces and captions often live in the bottom half of the screen, centering the subject too low just clutters the image. High placement draws attention immediately above all that noise.
But framing isn't just about where the person is. It's about controlling the entire environment. The checklist really stresses background control.
Yes. You have to become a ruthless editor of your environment. You have to check the background and eliminate any clutter, any distracting objects or busy patterns.
Like what?
If there is a bright sign, a pile of misplaced items, or anything that pulls the viewer's eye away from the subject's face or the action, it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
The frame should focus viewer attention like a laser beam.
And while composition is key, all that great composition is just ruined by one technical failure. Camera shake.
Oh, stability is completely non-negotiable.
Nope.
The modern audience is too sophisticated for that. The checklist mandates using a tripod or at least some form of support to ensure total stability and avoid any trembles or jitters. That shaky handheld amateur look is instantly penalized in terms of watch time. Even if you're just holding a phone, brace your elbows, or lean against a wall. Something.
So let's connect this back to your concept of cognitive load.
Hmm.
Why are these meticulous composition rules, rule of thirds, checking the background, absolute stability, why are they so critical in this fleeting vertical format? Why invest the time in such detail if the viewer is only looking for a few seconds?
Because they allow for instant comprehension. That's the key.
Instant comprehension.
When you use clean framing, a controlled background, and a stable shot, you drastically reduce the cognitive load required for the viewer to understand your message.
Okay.
They don't have to work to find your eyes, they don't have to filter out visual noise, and they aren't distracted by camera jitters. These details respect the viewer's time and attention span, and they guarantee that the information is delivered efficiently.
Instant comprehension. That is the perfect mantra for this format. Okay, that takes us into the final phase, which we're calling the safety net. This is all about preparing for the editing process.
Right.
You're setting up your future self for success, and that starts with the B-roll requirement.
A lot of people only film the main delivery, the A-roll. They get the perfect talking headshot and they just stop. But to create a truly dynamic final edit, you need that supportive footage.
It's like footage insurance, but it's also a narrative tool, isn't it? The checklist specifically tells us why B-roll is needed to make the final edit more dynamic and also to mask mistakes. If you have to cut out a pause or a mistake in your main delivery, you can use B-roll to cover that jump cut.
Exactly. The required support clips are things like shots of hands working, close-ups of relevant objects, panning shots of the environment, and just general clips from different angles. If your main shot is a wide angle, shoot a tight one. If you're describing a product, film a close-up of the detail. This flexibility is what separates professional content from amateur uploads.
And beyond a creative insurance, we have the boring but absolutely essential technical checks that prevent total failure.
We call these the pre-flight checks. First, battery. Your smartphone or camera must be fully charged.
Obvious but critical.
Second, memory. Sufficient free space must be confirmed. I cannot tell you how many times creators have lost a perfect interview because they ran out of storage 3 seconds before the end. It is catastrophic.
Ugh.
So check, double check, and delete old files if you need to.
And finally, the moment of truth. The ultimate triple threat verification. The last check before you press rec. This is the final checklist before launch.
You take a breath and you verify these three critical items. One, verify the microphone is actively recording, not just connected. That means looking at the levels on your recording device.
Okay.
Two, check that the camera lens is completely clean. Fingerprints and smudges are invisible on the tiny viewfinder, but they become huge, blurry disasters on the final published clip. Wipe it down.
And the third one, which goes all the way back to our first segment on story.
Number three, confirm that the subject, whether that's you or an actor or a demonstrator, knows exactly what they need to say or do for the next 3 seconds. Have them confirm their hook line. This prevents fumbling and ensures you nail the most important part of the clip right at the top.
So what does this entire sort of 9-point systematic workflow mean when we put it all together?
Well, it means that you guarantee two massive benefits. One, high production quality is ensured because you've accounted for audio, lighting, composition. And two, the resulting footage is incredibly flexible for refinement, for the necessary editing and iteration process.
So you're saving time later.
You stop wasting time fixing mistakes you should have prevented on set, which saves massive amounts of time in post-production. You move from problem solving to just optimizing.
That efficiency is the true goal here. So to summarize the value we've delivered today, you now possess a clear, structured, and repeatable shooting workflow that takes the guesswork out of vertical video. It covers everything from nailing that 3-second hook to ensuring your footage is dynamic and clean.
And that leads us to where your knowledge journey continues. Once you have clips recorded using this blueprint, the natural next step, according to all our sources, is to dive into the lessons on editing techniques that capitalize on this B-roll, and then on iteration.
Iteration.
Yeah, the perfection and optimization phase that's based on audience engagement data.
Hmm.
This pre-production discipline is what makes those later, more advanced steps even achievable.
It gives you the foundation, which is always the hardest part.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture,
yeah,
achieving high production value and consistent success in vertical content is rarely about expensive cameras. It's about meticulous adherence to a simple low-tech checklist like this one.
Right.
The real secret weapon in a vertical content world built on speed is not your hardware, but your discipline in pre-production. So think about the checklist we covered today. Which one of those 9 steps, the story, the audio check, or just cleaning the lens, which one do you personally overlook most often? Because that is likely the single point of failure that is costing you views right now.
Food for thought indeed. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the 9.16 blueprint. Go make some high impact video, and we'll catch you next time.